You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Now he says, Pastor, you know what? I can't get around to everybody because I don't have public transport. There's no public transport here. I've got to go to different villages and different places. And so we say to him, no problem. We're going to get you a car so you could travel around. And so we buy him a car. We, you know, we put together the money. We send him some money out there, $10,000 to buy a decent car, get him around all terrain. And then within 6 months, he says, you know what? I'm having trouble getting around. We said, what's happened to the car we sent you? And it's broken down, it's not working. And then what we realize is that he hasn't taken care of it. He wasn't servicing it. He wasn't putting the right fuel in it. He wasn't cleaning it. It was getting clogged up. And how many know we would be angry? How many know that now, because something which doesn't seem very spiritual has spiritual application to it, implication, should I say, is because if you don't take care of the vehicle that we give you to get around in, you can't do what God has called you to do. Now, I want you to think about that vehicle as your body, because God has given you a body. Because listen, without your body, you ain't going nowhere. And if you are going places without your body, we bind you. In the name of Jesus, don't come around mine. When you come around, you have a body. Don't be coming around here, yeah, I'm there with you in spirit, Pastor. No, that don't mean that. Robo Shandai. The issue is that well-being, and I want us to look at this being a well-being so that we can do the kingdom of God. We're not just talking about, just being well, that's the next thing to godliness, no. But we want to talk about this, and so we're going to go through this probably 5, 6, 7 weeks and go through different things. And so let me start with this, is that one of the things that has the highest nutritional value for us is water. We need water. It has the highest of anything that you can think about. The highest nutritional value to a human being's body is going to be water. We know that 70% of the earth's surface is water. We know that about 70% of you are 70%, your body is water. That's what you're made up of. They say that you can live 7 weeks without food. Now, some of you feel like you couldn't live 7 hours. Some of you are hungry now. Now I said food, I've lost you. But if you're drinking water, they say you could live. You'd probably be passed out for the last 2 weeks. But you can actually, the people that have actually lived, you could actually physically live 7 weeks without food. Up to, that would probably be the maximum, 5 to 7 weeks. They say you could only live about 7 days without water. 7 days without water. Think about this now, how dependent we are on water. If you never drunk again till next Sunday, you'd be dead. Just 1 week. And so we see that we are dependent upon water. I got my water here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read the text. The Bible says in John 7, verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now to be involved in this service. This is your house. We are your people. Father, I pray that you would just descend upon us. Have your way. Be glorified. Let your will be done. I pray, Father, that you would refresh and quench that the thirst of the soul. I pray, Father, that you would help us to live a life, Father, that we could maximize our effectiveness for you. Live, be well-being, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. In this text here, Jesus speaks about the thirst. And he has living water for the thirst. And I said to you here is that we need water. If we don't get it, we're going to die. They say that you should drink at least 2 liters of water a day. So, you know, I kind of just looked into this. So really and truly, you should drink about 4 of these a day. And some of you just convicted there. I've lost you, man. You should drink 4 of these a day to be healthy and to keep a certain equilibrium, a certain balance within your body. If you do not, how many know most of us don't? Let's be honest today. Look at someone and say, let's be honest. Say you're in church, come on. If you can't be honest in church, where can you be? Come on. So look, we should be drinking 4 of those a day, about 2 liters a day. I think it's a little bit less if it's a woman. And so if you do not drink water, you can get problems. I never knew this. You can have problems in your blood if you're not drinking enough water. Problems in your joints. There's actually issues with your weight. It actually contributes to issues in your weight. And I need to deal with some of this extra spare tire that I'm carrying around with me, man, just in case I get a puncture. We need to deal, you know, you need, if you don't get enough water. That's Pastor Stacy Dillard. He's probably still here. Holla. No. No, we don't want to. No. I don't know. My wife said that to me today, man. I said, stop that. I don't want that in the church now, man. Holla. No. I don't even know what that actually means. So someone can explain that to me. I was going for the Bible. Is it a Greek or Hebrew word? Water. Look at someone say water. Yeah, that's right. Not water. We don't want that either. We don't want that. If you don't drink, you're going to have problems. Okay, water keeps your body running. Did you know that a baby can be up to 80% water? But old people can be as little as 50% water. So this is the thing, when you're not drinking enough, this is why some people are getting old and crinkly before their time. See, water keeps the body running. Let me give you some benefits here of drinking water. It helps your heart. Because, I spoke about it, what it does is that if you don't drink enough water, what they said is that your blood basically starts to get too thick. And then the organs like your heart and all of that is actually having to work too hard. And so what they did is some tests, and they said that people that drink water, it reduces the chances of a heart attack, and it reduces the chances of a stroke. By people that drink an adequate amount of water, your brain needs water. Some of the chemicals that your brain makes to help you think and process things, because your brain is always changing and moving, is that without water, it struggles to make those things. And this is why some people are having more of those, what we call senior moments, is that, I don't know what, I can't work it out. You're not drinking enough water, your body needs it. Your stomach will benefit from you drinking ample amount of water, because obviously water helps saliva, and water helps your digestion and helps you so that when your body is producing the acid to break down the food, that doesn't actually burn through you. And people are getting acid indigestion and ulcers and these type of things. Water can help with those things. Water helps your skin look good when you drink enough water, because like I said, without water your skin's going to dry out. Water helps your joints. This is a big one, is that in between all of our joints that we can move and all of that is the cartilage, whatever you call it. Amen. You know what it is. They said that thing, that cartilage, it's actually way more slipperier than ice. This is why we could keep moving and all of these things. Think about this now. It's amazing the way that God has designed the body. Because bones are rubbing against bones, but they're not. Because in between, God has put these like shock absorbers. These well-engineered brackets to allow you. Listen, there's no, evolution couldn't work that out. Evolution couldn't work that out. If you see a bracket, if you see like these TVs are on brackets, it's not like we bought the TVs and then the brackets just developed. We could leave those TVs on the floor for a billion years. They would not develop any brackets. And so God has made us like this. So he's made these in between your spine, those discs, and in between your joints. They are, many of them are 80% water. And when you're not drinking water, those things, those shock absorbers, they're not as good as they should be. And so it now puts more pressure on your muscles, sorry, on your bones. And this is why, backache and joints and arthritis and all of these things. Now, I'm not saying that water is going to heal you and you're going to live forever. Like, drink four of those, we'll live forever. None of us are going to live forever. We're all going to get sick at some point with something. Whether it's a cold or whether it's something far worse. But what we're talking about here is things that help you. The way that you were designed by God. God designed you. And many times the world, listen, outside of the church, we say that's the system of the world. The world always wants to take what God has done, the good things, and play it like they invented it. No, health, God invented it. Healthy eating and living, God invented it. Because God designed you and made you. God knows how you work. It helps you flush out your system. How many know you got to empty your bin? You got to empty your bin, man. Your body needs to empty its bin. When you're eating, there's waste. When you go to the toilet, see some people, let's just keep it real anyway. You should be going to the toilet at least once a day. And we're talking about the number two here. At least once a day. At least. People, I heard that some people don't go for 4 days. Hey! 4 days. Listen, your body shouldn't be keeping that in for 4 days. Because what that is keeping the toxins in your body. See, if you don't empty your bin, eventually that bin is going to stink out the rest of the house. It's going to ruin the rest of the house. And so one of the things people, they don't drink water and then they're constipated, so then they're taking pills. You need to be drinking more water. That's what they say. Before you start taking pills. Now, I'm not against pills, but you should be drinking water. Now, number one, when you go number one, you should be going number one. Because that is the primary way of the body getting toxins out of you. It's the primary way of the body getting toxins out of you. And when you go, I know this sounds a bit gross, it should not be brown. People are going, it's like, yeah. No. You need to be drinking plenty of water, man. The clearer it is, the better for you. It's like, Pastor, this is like education. It is education. What we're talking about here is all the benefits of water. Now, why are you telling us all of this, Pastor? Well, think about this now. Who made water? God. That God can just make the simplest of things and it heals so many issues in your life. It heals so many issues in your life. The problem is this. This is where a little bit of problem comes in. When your body needs water, it doesn't send you an email. It's not like, your phone goes, oh, the body is telling me you need water. How does the body tell you you need water? Thirst. You get thirsty. This is the body's way of communicating to you and saying, listen, you're dehydrated. And actually, you know what they say? When you've become thirsty, it's not too late, but you've left it too long. By the time you become thirsty, you've actually left it too long. You should have been drinking enough water before you even get extra thirsty like that. What the word is, you've become dehydrated. And when you become dehydrated, like we said, the body, God has designed this body so marvelous that the body is an efficient running machine. It's so efficient. Let me tell you why it's efficient. Is that if you're not drinking enough water, the body goes into survival mode. And it says, you know what? Let's just keep water because we don't have much. So we better hold on to what we got. This is why when people start to drink water more, when they haven't been drinking enough water, they start to drink water, they feel like they're going to the toilet all the time. Because all that water that your body was trying to hold on to, it says, we're getting enough now. Release it. That's what it does. But this is the other thing, is that when you're not drinking enough water and your body goes into survival mode, your body says, only give water to the essential organs. So it says, what does that person need to stay alive? Just give it to that. And so this is why it says, well, the skin is not an essential organ. And so the body says, don't give it to their skin. So if you're not drinking enough water, the body says, let their skin just dry up and get old. This is why your body will say, don't give it to the joints. Because we can get by. We need to give it to the heart. We need to give it to the lung. But we don't need to give it to the joints. And this is why some of the first things, the first signs of people being living a life which is dehydrated, problems start to happen in their skin or in their joints. See, when you are dehydrated, it causes problems. When you are thirsty, it causes problems. Jesus says this, if any one thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus was not talking about spiritual thirst. Sorry, physical thirst. He was talking about a spiritual thirst. I've just documented, said all these things, and there's way more things we could have said about physical need for water. Now, what Jesus is addressing here is that just like you need physical water, just like you will die and shrivel up and things will go wrong, you also need spiritual water. Your soul needs living water. And because you are not taking in living water, you have a spiritual thirst. Things will start to break down and go wrong in your life. There are many people, and some even here, you are spiritually dehydrated. Your life is spiritually dehydrated and you're going through problems. And the reason why is that you are not drinking living water. You do not have enough living water. Some of you have none. Now, this is what happens when you start talking about people need to drink adequately, 2 liters a day. People say, well, I do. I drink Coke. I drink, bottles of Coke, man. All the time, people start to think that, or they drink juices. Now, juices are healthy for you. Fresh juice is healthy for you. If it's fresh, it's healthy for you. People drink tea, coffee. The problem with these things is that these things are not water. They have liquid in them. They have some water in them, but they're not water. Obviously, if you're drinking Pepsi and Coke, and it's full of sugar or chemicals, it's not helping you. Because many of these things that you can drink, even though they do have some water in it or some liquid in it, the other things that they have in it actually dehydrate you. So think about this now. You're drinking something because you're dehydrated, but the very thing you're drinking is making you more dehydrated. This is how the world is today. Is that there is a thirst in your soul for something. You are thirsty. You are looking for something in life. You feel that desire for something more. From the youngest age, you started to feel it. You want to belong. You want acceptance. You want to be successful. There's something about life that pushes you on, drives. There is a thirst. And the problem is that many people are drinking the very things of this world that are making them more dehydrated. We understand it in the physical. People have a thirst and they think money or material things will fix it. They watch MTV Cribs. They're watching these stars and if I get this car, if I can wear these clothes, if I can have a big belt with 2 G's over it, I will be, this will quench my thirst. And people will see me and I can walk around the area and show that, look what I am. Drawing yourself, showing everything off. And you'll get the money and you'll get the car and you'll get it. Never mind, it's a rental. Listen, anybody can get a rental, by the way. But the problem is, it doesn't quench the thirst. You're still thirsty. You're still thirsty, man. Because you're only going to want a bigger car. You thought, if I get this car, and I'll be happy, and then you see someone else with that car. Or then you see someone else with a bigger car. Oh, I got to get a bigger car. I've got to get a faster one. You'll always be thirsting for more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And more. They did a thing where they interviewed millionaires, multi-millionaires. These people have never felt want. I want them to get it. Imagine living a life like, I want that car. It's yours. Never having to save up, never everything they want. And the guy was interviewing him. He said, do you consider yourself rich? He said, nah, we're not that rich. What? You know why? Because it's like, how much is enough? Just a bit more. That's human nature. How much is enough? Just a bit more. Because you're constantly, because even though the money and all of those things, it cannot fulfill the thirst. People are drinking a lifestyle, partying and drugs, alcohol. And I know what that is. I was speaking to someone recently, I can't remember who it was. And I was looking at my life and I was like, my days. At the age of 11, well, when I was in primary school, I was smoking. I remember someone, you know, starting smoking in primary school. I remember from the age of about 13 that I was drunk, getting drunk all the time. And so I was living this life, grew up living this life. But you know what? By the time I got to about 18, 19, I remember it's like it's empty. Going to different raves, going, and I've said it many, 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 many times. And some of you here, you're living that life, that party life, the fast life. You're trying to make ends meet, hang out with friends, living for the Friday, living for the Saturday. But you wake up on Monday thirsty. Yes. You wake up on Monday thirsty. You've tried so many raves. You've tried so many things. Listen, I'm not against you. I'm not hating on you. I'm just saying, I'm really, you know, like when you go to the doctor and the doctor tests you and he says you're dehydrated, the doctor don't hate you. Well, this is what it is. You've come today and Dr. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is looking at you and saying, you're just dehydrated. You're drinking things that are actually not quenching. They're making you more thirsty. In our world today, you know what the world really tells us will quench us? Sex. More sex. You what you need is more sex, bruv. That's how the world is teaching. Yeah, what you need is more sex, bro. You're not getting enough sex. That's the last time you had sex. That's how the world will do it. He's like, Pastor, can you say that three times in a row? In a sermon, one sermon? I did it. Because everything, if they're selling chewing gum, there's like a woman with a bikini on. If they're selling a car, there's a woman with a bikini on. If they're selling bleach, there's a woman with a bikini on. If they're selling nappies, there's a woman with a bikini on. If they, listen, doesn't matter what they sell you, they just put a bikini on. And that's what it is, because sex sells. Because there is a lie that is pushed into us that, listen, if you see that thirst you feel, see that yearning that you feel, sex will quench it. Can I tell you right now? It's a lie. Sex will not quench that thirst. Men that become bound by it. Men that become bound. They're bound by this thing that sex will quench my thirst. And it's been driving them for years. And you think you get more girls, more girls, more girls. And some women, more men, more men, more men. And listen, all that you've had, it's making you feel more and more empty. Makes you feel more and more empty. Not more and more thing. It's maybe another notch on your belt. Pornography. People looking at naked bodies on the internet. Then pleasuring themselves. It's the nicest way I can put it in a mixed audience. Where there are young people here. And you know what? They become bound to it. Let me do it again. Let me do it again. Let me do it again. You know why? Because there is a lie in the world. You know what? Sex will quench it. And you only become more and more thirsty. And listen, some people even bring this into marriage. You see people getting divorced. And they'll be like, hey, why did you get divorced? Because of sex. I heard that there's even people that will say people are sex addicts. How can you be a sex addict? Because you've bought into the lie that, you know, I'm thirsty. And only sex will answer it. Listen, not just bad things. Can I say to you today, good things? There's nothing wrong with juice and tea, but it still won't quench you like water. Nothing wrong with those things, but it won't quench you. Can I say to you today, let me speak to the Christians in this place. Coming to church alone is not going to quench your thirst. Just coming to church, being part. I'm a part of Potter's house. We reach the lost. Make disciples. I was going to say plant church. I was like, there's something else that we're supposed to do. Make disciples, plant churches. Listen, yes, you're part of the Potter's house. Yes, you come to church regularly. You should do that. Be in fellowship with God's people. Love God's people. But church alone, just coming to church, will not quench the thirst. Just becoming a member of the Potter's house, just becoming a faithful part of the church, that alone, it's a good thing. But listen, sometimes even the good things are not as good as the water. Yeah. Marriage. Do you know how many people think married, if I just get married, there's some single people here, you think, if I just could get married, all my problems could be solved in a I do and you do. No, some of you, you're going to I do and your problems are starting. Your problem is just, woo, just starting, man. Now you're going to know how thirsty you really was. You better start learning how to drink some water now. People think if I just get a job or I just have kids, these things are good. But let me tell you what life has become for many people is what the Bible says in 2 Peter 2 verse 17. He says, they are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. Wells without water, he says in the beginning. Wells without water. It looks like a well. It is a well. There's a hole in it. But at the bottom, there is no water. And you go to it. You see, oh, this is a well. How many women in this place have found a boyfriend well without water? Oh, yeah, look at that guy. Everyone's looking at him. He's hot. He's riding up in his nice BMW. Let me just, hey. You got to, yeah, now you're his girlfriend. He's a well without water. He's a well without water. He has not made you any more happier. He has not fulfilled that deeper need that you cry for. He is not quenching that thirst of your soul. Yes. There are men here that wells without water that you're chasing after and you could fill in the blank. But this world will constantly offer us wells without water. It looks like there's water in it. And you go anticipating, salivating, I'm going to be quenched. And you drop your bucket down and you just hear bonk. There is no water at the bottom of that thing. And some people's lives is going from one well to another well to another well. I've met women in their 40s and 50s. And you know their whole life has just been well hunting. Men in their 40s and 50s, and their whole life is just going from one well to another well and never feeling any level of quenching. Listen, I don't want to live that life. Jesus is the true well, church. Let me give you some scriptures here and then we're going to close and pray. John 4 verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He's talking about a well. Jesus meets this woman at a well, and Jesus makes a statement. He says, listen, sister, if you drink of this water, of this well, listen, you could drink it, natural water, but it's not living water. You're going to thirst again. And so, like I said, some things are good. Marriage, kids, career, ministry, church, they're good. They're good things, but they will not quench the soul. But Jesus says this, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Jesus says, listen, I have living water that I want to give you, and this water is going to quench that thirst, that thing that bugs you and drives you, that thirsty desire, that dehydrated life. Jesus says, I want to meet it. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Can I say to you today, Jesus knows your soul is thirsty. Jesus knows the soul of mankind is thirsty. And you can say, oh, the church is outdated. It's 2,000 years old. Jesus used to walk around in sandals in a desert road. True. But one thing has never changed. Men are still thirsty. Women are still thirsty. People are still desiring something else. People are so desperate, they will do things that they know are destroying themselves. They smoke cigarettes, knowing it's killing them. But there's a thirst. Oh, yes. Then it fills. People will do things that destroy themselves, but that's how thirsty they are. Listen, if you get someone to such a point that they were devastated and thirsty, they would drink anything. Even if they know. You know, there are places you can go in the world where the water is infected and it's making people ill in villages and towns, and people are still drinking it because they're saying, what do you want us to drink? What do you want us to drink? Because once you get desperate enough, you'll drink something even if you know it hurts you. And that's how people are living their life right now. And Jesus says, why I want to fulfill that thirst. I want to quench that thirst. Jesus says, the reason I've come is not to give you dead religion, not to make you more thirsty, not to dry you out, to dry your life out, not to have you dead, but to give you life, to give you living water. This is what real Christianity is. This is what really knowing Jesus is. Living water. Problem is, reason why many of us don't believe it, because we haven't seen many Christians that are drinking it. Many Christians live on living water like we live on natural water. We know how much we should drink and we don't drink it. And so what we have is dehydrated Christians. Walking around, hey man, come and get saved. Come to the well. While dust is flying out of your teeth. Come to the well. You need to go to the well first. You need to sit at the well for a little while first. You need to drink of the well and get refreshed and allow your joints and your heart and your blood and all of your life and your skin become a bit more radiant. And maybe then people would just say, how old are you? How did you go through this? How are you dealing with this? Look at your life. How come you're so healthy? How come there's a joy? How come there's this zeal in your life? And he say, listen, come, let me show you a well. Come with me. Come. Rather than with your dusty lips and your dusty tongue, come on, you're trying to drag someone. I've got a well. Come with me. Don't be like, listen, I don't want that. No disrespect. When I look at religion, that's what I see, is dusty people. When I look at that, dusty churches and dusty priests and dusty popes, I don't want that. But when I came into the Potter's house and I saw young people like me, that were living for God and full, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I want what you got. I want what you got, man. Because I came into church 22, smoking and drinking, and I saw young people younger than me, 18, 16. It's like, what have you got that I don't have? And when the preacher said, what they've got is Jesus, I said, you know what, I want some of that. This is what Jesus is about. Think about it now. We all know the 23rd Psalm. What does it say in the beginning? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's refreshing. That's what he's saying. That's the whole point of it. He's a shepherd that leads you beside still waters, where you could just be refreshed. We know the psalm, but we don't know the shepherd. Isaiah 12 verse 3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the well of salvation. From the well of salvation, the real well, Jesus. See, Jesus, hey, someone's thirsty. See, this is what it is. Coming to Christ is coming to the real well. Can I say to you today in closing, no matter where you are right now, Jesus can bring water to you. No matter where you are right now, Jesus can bring water to you. Some of you, you're in a dry place, a dry season in your life. Deuteronomy 8 verse 15, speaking about God who led you through the great terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water for you out of a flinty rock. The Bible says that, listen, the children of Israel are going through a thirsty land. Jesus is the rock. Moses brought water for the children of Israel out of a rock. Jesus is that rock. You might be right now in a thirsty place. Your life could be in a thirsty place. All you're surrounded by is what you see as rocks. You don't see any real hope. All you see is problems. Can I say, if you would call out to Christ, he can bring water to your life. He can bring water out of a rock. He can bring water out of a rock. It doesn't matter where you are, Jesus can bring it to you. Doesn't matter what your ministry is like. Doesn't matter what your finances are like. Doesn't matter what your marriage is like. If you are willing to allow Christ into your life, fully into your life, to submit to him and say, look, I'm thirsty and I need refreshing. He can bring water out of that very thing that you think, listen, that's not natural to have water out of that. He can bring refreshing in a desert place. You know, a desert place is where nothing is going on. How many have ever been in a desert place in their life? Where nothing is going on, man. Where you look at parts of your life and it's like, that's a desert, man. Nothing is working here. Nothing is growing here. And people may advise, give up on that, man. Look, it's a desert. Ain't nothing going to happen in a desert place. Jesus says, no. I can still do something there. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 verse 6, it says, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Jesus is saying, even though you're in a desert place right now, he can make burst. He can bring forth water, refresh you, even in that place. Isaiah 43 verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? Meaning you don't know how this happens or where it comes from. I will even make a road in the wilderness and river in the desert. What God is saying is, listen to what Jesus, what the Bible is communicating to us, is that where you are right now, it could be a dry place, a tough time, a situation where you cannot see anything happening. But what the Bible says is that, he says, listen, I'm going to do a new thing. You haven't seen anything like this before. Man cannot manufacture this or make it. He says, even though you're in that position, he says, I can come to you and I can bring water to where you are. I can bring water to where you are. Doesn't matter about the circumstance, the situation, the upbringing. God is saying, I can refresh you in that place. I can bring water to a desert. And at the end, he says, rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. See, the real blessing of this is that in our text, Jesus says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What the Bible is showing us is this, is that with Jesus, it's not where you are, it's who's in you. That's what it's all about. It's not where you are. You're running all over town, all over London. Some people running all over the world. You're going from there. Oh, I heard there's a well over there. Oh, I heard that's a well. Oh, that looks like a well. And all your life, you're just running from one to another, blowing your bucket, pulling it up, and there's nothing but dust and sand in it. While the whole time, Jesus is here calling out to you, saying, if you would only believe on him, if you'd only call upon him, that he would give you living water. He will give you living water. And he says that water will quench your thirst. He says all you need to do is recognize that you are thirsty. If you are thirsty, if you will realize and just be honest with yourself and say, listen, I'm searching. And the things of this world. See, the reason why some of you won't call out is that you don't realize how thirsty you are yet. We've just got to leave you and let you realize and go for a few things. That's the real deal. That you got to realize, you know what, this is not working. Some people, it takes them a few times to bang their head against one wall to realize, hold up, this is hurting me. This is damaging me. This is hurting me. This ain't making me no better. But if today you would realize and say, you know what, I am thirsty. Jesus said, if you will call, I will give you living water. I will quench that thirst. And then he says this, I will put inside of you a well of living water, and that will continually flow and flow and flow. That you don't have to run over here, run over there, go to this person, follow this fashion, look at this. People can let you down. It doesn't matter, because there's a well inside of you. Things can go wrong around you, but there's a well inside of you. This is why I can live a consistent Christian life. too many. Oh, I'm giving up. I'm on fire. I'm giving up. I'm on fire. I'm giving up. I'm on fire. I'm giving up. It's the well, man. You need a well inside of you. You need Jesus inside of you to constantly be quenching that thirst. And people can look at your life like, you're in the middle of a desert smiling, your skin is radiant, everything is healthy, because inside of me, don't you realize, he can make a way in the wilderness. He can bring a river in a desert. That's what he means, inside of you, inside of every person in this place. Every single person in this place is going to walk out of here one or two ways. There is a line drawn. There is segregation. It's not black or white. It's not male or female. It's not rich or poor. It's thirsty and quenched. Some of you are going to leave here still thirsty. Sad, but that's the truth. But no one has to leave here still thirsty. Let's leave here today quenched. Living for Jesus, calling on Jesus. Saying, you know what? God, I need this. I'm going to receive this. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.